This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to another BFM 10 special in conjunction with BFM's 10th anniversary. My name is Audrey Raj. To cap off this show on BFM's hits and misses, Rich Bradbury speaks to BFM's head of digital and new media, Ezra Zayed, about B-Side, BFM's very own digital cultural magazine.
Okay, so I'm in the studio with Ezra Zayed, and a few years ago, as with most new ventures and ideas, a whole bunch of ideas are thrown out when a business is started. And some of these ideas come into fruition, they last a while, and then they kind of fade away, and we're not entirely sure why. One of the things that BFM did back in 2012 was to launch a platform that we called the B-Side, which was to be an online magazine specifically for iPads, and it was to be BFM's cultural magazine, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess we're looking back to 2012.
Yes.
And you know, if you can look back that far in terms of the technological landscape about how content was being produced, specifically, I guess, taking a look at the advent of the smartphones, and specifically, I guess, tablets, phablets, sort of being introduced. There was, I guess, something that publishers, especially international publishers, were looking at was essentially the newsstand app that was featured prominently through, I guess, the iOS
system. Right. And you got the Economist in there. And
right.
New
York Times, Esquire, and a lot of publishers locally look to that format and going, hang on. So we've got our print versions that has been sort of declining in terms of sale numbers.
Yeah.
Was there a means in which people were going to, I guess, respond to reading materials on their phones or on their tablets? And again, you know, just on the back of that, you know, blogs were just sort of on the tail end of that sort of
right.
golden era of blogging. And so I think BFM, we were going through probably about 5 years in terms of our existence. And there was a discussion about how else can we engage our listeners to sort of communicate with us through another format. And we had some great long-form magazines at the time. Specifically, it was Off the Edge, that really sort of captured the socio-cultural, political landscape of what was happening in the country. And the editor, Jason Tan, I think he had just wrapped up Off the Edge, and he came on board to BFM and sort of pitched us this idea. And sort of the idea was actually still and was quite fascinating. So just the idea of basically a multimedia experience of content. So it wasn't just about articles and beautiful color photos seen through, I guess, either a screen protector or however big your screen was. It was, trying to take content into sort of these different areas. So we would have, audio stories embedded in articles. We would have, the voice of Patrick Teo embedded in one of these articles to sort of illuminate some of these short stories. We would have the likes of Isham Rais, of course. He had sort of a great food article series in Off the Edge. He published a book called Tapai, and it was trying to sort of capture that, not just restricting it to text, but into video as well. So it was, quite an exciting time because you want to call it a trend, but you want to also call it, you'd also as a publisher or as a content producer, you don't want to miss out on the next big thing.
Right, right.
And I think there was a legitimate case that, this was going to be the next big thing. But sitting now here in 2018,
right.
We can reflect upon a little bit more on some of the lessons as to why that did or did not work out.
I mean, it seemed to be, it was one of those magazines when you would have articles in there of the entire spectrum of what made up Malaysia, from each kind of political side as well. It wasn't like you were focused on one end of things. Even if you look at we release one printed version as well. So you've got Hisham Rais in there as well. And of course, alongside Bilqis Hijaz, the balloon girl, as people refer to her now.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting kind of mix.
And it was also a means of, looking for new young writers. I mean, looking back at 2012, the 2008 elections had sort of cracked the ceiling a little bit politically. And, and there was a lot of expression, you know, whether it was events, you know, on the ground, you know, social media was beginning to boom. And there was a lot of voices and expressions and opinions being captured around the country. And we thought, well, how is another unique way beyond sort of our radio broadcast format, beyond the podcast, how else can we sort of make it a little bit more engaging? Now, on the back end of things, of producing something like this, there's a lot of tech that needs to be implemented and a lot of investment on that regard. The maintenance of it as well to ensure that it's actually sort of deliverable on time on a monthly basis. So you're kind of still going through the merry-go-round of producing a monthly magazine, chasing deadlines, chasing sort of all original material. And you ended up going, well, hang on, you're trying to look at the costs and benefits of how much this is going to cost, but also whether it's actually going to reach and engage people in the same way that people have. And you can have certain touch points as to what are the probabilities of success on something like that. But, you know, in terms of the ideas in itself and some of the implementation, I thought it was terrific and fascinating.
So here's, you know, as somebody who would have to have edited that, it's not just a traditional editor that you need. It's somebody who is familiar with multimedia and its applications and the back end of that.
And it's just even the idea of, you know, the magazine, instead of the printed version, you would literally just have turned the page from right to left.
Yeah.
Now, with the iPad and sort of the opportunities that it presented itself, you were trying to think, which way were you going to swipe?
Yeah.
Which way was that device going to be held to sort of maximize the viewing and reading experience? Do you take away that choice from the consumer, or do you leave it in?
Right.
It prompted a lot of creative possibilities, but I think at the core end of it, I think we can't sort of forget the role of videos that came in 2012, 2013.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think once the likes of these social media platforms incorporated video in a big, meaningful way, the iPad became that kind of device. It became the device for kids to make sure that they could watch their videos while parents were having dinner. Folks really enjoyed reading, I think, for a significant amount of time. Because even when it came to e-books and iBooks, there was still that sort of back and forth. Was the Kindle in its sort of monochrome format still going to sort of take the lead, or was it going to go all color? Was it going to sort of have the sense of whether you would strain your eyes if you would read it for beyond 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And these were sort of some of the considerations that you know, Jason Tan and Mali Ali were thinking about and experimenting when it came to putting this together.
Okay. So Crux question then.
Yes.
What do you think was the kind of the death knell of this? Because like you say, it has all these great ideas.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many options that you could have gone for. Now, was it because there was the option paralysis perhaps? Was it before its time perhaps? Or was it – what do you think it was?
Well, I think in terms of timing, I think it was relatively on the money. But I think the market kind of decided it for all of us.
Right.
You don't really see – you know, many organizations putting that much more money in this format.
And it was a considerable amount of money as
well. It was a considerable amount of money, and not just on us, and on every other publisher who was looking towards this format. And I must say that, you know, when you take a look at it is curious, isn't it? In 2018, I'm looking back, it's only been 5-6 years ago, and we've moved away so rapidly in terms of, you know, reading shorter articles. So B-Side was very much a long form experience. You were really trying to take the printed magazine into a new casing, a new house. And I think perhaps it was a little bit early in terms of assessing how, I guess, those behaviors would manifest themselves. And as a result, right now, there's a relook at what B-Side could be. And I think there certainly is a space and role for the B-Side or something like the B-Side when it comes to BFM 89.9. At the core of it, we're a radio station. We're a radio station that broadcasts along the Klang Valley. It's a listening experience in your cars and it's very personal. But let's not kid ourselves that people are engaging with so many different platforms and so many different devices. And text still has a role.
Agreed.
Text still has a role. So the question is, what role does it play? What role and what type of content does it play in the written form? For example, the questions need to be asked whether if you were to do a B-side that would replicate the content of the radio segment, are you sure you want to read about numbers and percentages and graphs in text? Mm. Or are you looking for more lifestyle, current news, breaking news? Are you looking for more long-form thought pieces, but maybe reduced in quantity? These are the types of sort of questions that are being asked right now, and not just by BFM, but by many online publishers. The concern is, do you get into a scenario where you're chasing writers and journalists to put out, 15, 20, 30 articles a day? Mm. How sustainable is that? What is the engagement level of that? And I think there have been many different models that have been tested by many local and international publishers and to varying degrees of success. And when it comes to the issue of sustainability as well, are we looking at sort of these questions that are still being proposed by the likes of, for example, the Malaysian Insight, going into a subscription model?
Yeah, yeah.
And the value-add experience is tough in a world where everything is free.
Agreed.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think right now it's going to be a case of translating a lot of our radio content into these other forms. Certainly video is making a lot more headway because it resonates with our listeners. It resonates with advertisers.
It resonates with the younger generation who arguably have a shorter attention span to perhaps the readers of something longer form.
Absolutely. And I think it's also worth sort of thinking about I guess, you know, when we talk about sort of the 2012 version of the B-side, where is the iPad today?
Right.
Right? And where are these sort of reading devices and what are we going to sort of move towards to? I think the money right now is still towards a smartphone and it's still towards, you know, that – 7 inches.
Yep.
You know, and it's going to be within that range. And I think it's going to be an interesting experiment in the next year or two as to where this goes towards. And I think once we land on certain things, we might get it right, might get it wrong. But there's certainly going to be an experimentation towards that.
You feel much pressure?
Well, I feel a certain amount of optimism that, you know, at the core of it, BFM, we're content creators. And I'm hugely confident of the producers and presenters in this office to come up and produce the best content available. My responsibility in my new role as head of digital and new media at BFM is to essentially translate that content into ways where consumption and distribution is something intuitive. And I think that will be sort of the rather big challenge.
That was Rich Bradbury catching up with Ezra Zayat, BFM's head of digital and new media, on The B-Side. Coming up in the next hour, another BFM 10 special, this time on BFM's foray into the digital world. Jeff Sandhu will be taking you on a personalized BFM tour on everything podcasting, app-related, video, and more. You don't want to miss that. And if you miss any part of this show on BFM's hits and misses, go look for the podcast on our website, bfm.my, or better yet, just get the BFM app on your phone. It's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. It is the optimal way to consume BFM and all the station has to offer. So that is a wrap for me right now. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Frida Liu and Richard Bradbury from the Enterprise team, thank you for listening and thank you for supporting us through our first 10. This is BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.